In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
I bring greeting for my family, for my wife and children. I bring greeting from the Diocese of Awil and the people of South Sudan, your brothers and sisters in Christ in South Sudan. I used to live here in Atlanta, Georgia, as one of the lost boys. And I went back to serve the Lord and to give back what God has given me, the blessing that I received from the Lord and from the people like you, and to share the love of God with my people. And when I live here, I made a friendship with a lot of people. And your bishop, Bishop Bill Out, is one of my good friends and a brother in the Lord. And Archbishop Paul Beach, the Archbishop of the Anglican Church in North America. Because I used to live in Atlanta, we used to work together. And we are still good friends. Both of them have been in South Sudan. Bishop Bill Aoud just came there when we were elected our Archbishop, or new Archbishop. He was there with us just in April. Bishop Bill Aoud was there. And Archbishop Paul Beach was there also to have a time and make a retreat to the bishop in South Sudan. More than 60 bishops, 52 diocesan bishops, an assistant bishop. It was a great time. Let me tell you a little bit about me and the Diocese of Awil and South Sudan. I don't know when I was born because of war. People from South Sudan been in the war for the last maybe 60 years. We do have some maybe 5 years, 10 years, but the war never end. The war started in 1955, and it went up to 1972 when they had an agreement in Addis Ababa. And when our people went back home, they were start killing educated ones so that the history will not be passed on to the people in the villages. In only 10 years, another war broke out in 1983. And that war went up to 2005. And in that war of 1983 to 2005, we lost more than 2 million people. What were they fighting for? We were fighting, the fighting in South Sudan is a religious war. In Sudan by then was a religious war, but the world don't want to call it like that. It was a religious war because people in South Sudan were Christian. And the people in the north are Muslim, and they are the one running the government. And we were colonized by the Great Britain. But they gave the power to the people in the north. I don't know why. And the people of the north, what they want to do first is to convert the African in the south to become a Muslim. Well, my people were familiar with Christianity. You know, the Nuba Kingdom was a Christian kingdom. You know, the unique man who walked from Africa to go to Jerusalem to worship is coming from South Sudan. But Islam was a foreign thing to our people, and they said not to it. And because they said not to it, they were subject to be killed and to be slaves. And when I came to this country in 2001, and you talk about slavery and what the Muslims are doing, Americans will say, this is racist. We don't allow racism in America. until September 11, American people's eyes were open to see the truth and to know the truth. The war is because of the oil. The oil is coming from South Sudan. All the resources from South Sudan have been taken to the north and leave the south with nothing. We have no building. We have no light. We have no running water, no hospital. But the resources have been taken from the south to develop the north and leave south with nothing. We're also fighting for identity. Races. Islam is full of races. Even though the African are the native of Sudan, they were not considered as people. We are dealing with people. When they are minority, they are good people. When they are majority, they tend to be a different people. But even now it's changed. Even when they are two or three, they became dangerous. A few years ago, one of the biggest cities in America, Boston, was closed down because of two boys, two young men, make the biggest city to be closed down. This is dangerous how these people are. That's where we come from. And that will make the group known as the Lost Boys. The Lost Boys are the children run away from South Sudan. In my hometown, in my village, I walk more than 4 months going to Ethiopia, seeing people eaten by wild animals, drowned in the rivers, die because there's no food, disease outbreak. But the good Lord keeps some of us alive to be witness and to give testimony of what took place in Sudan. I was one of them. We stayed in Ethiopia for 5 years. Another war broke out in Ethiopia. We have to run back to Sudan. And we crossed the river. And in that river, we lost more than 2,000 people. I was there. I'm not telling you the thing that I read in the paper or the thing that I saw in TV. I'm sharing with you the thing that I went through. We live in Kenya eating 1 meal a day or no food, depending on when the UN will bring food. But the good government of America, because of the churches praying and talking about what is happening in South Sudan, in Sudan, some of us were brought to this country to start a new life. A new life of going to school and to work. When we reached Kenya, we were 16,000. But in Kenya, we were maybe 100,000. We were in three camps. But some of them died and some of them went to other countries. But 16,000 arrived in Kenya, and American government took 4,000. All the 16 were asked to apply. I don't know how they do their own selection, but thank God I was one of them. And I was brought here in this country and live in Atlanta, Georgia, pastoring a church there, and that church is still there. And going to Trinity School for Ministry, where my colleague here also went to. But God called me back to go back to South Sudan. God called me back in 2010 to live and to minister in South Sudan. Live in this beautiful country, a peaceful country in the world. But I have served the call to be hope and to share the love of Christ with my people. So every year I come to U.S. to share what is happening and to raise support and to talk to people to pray. And lately, we've been coming to U.S. because we cut our relationship with the Episcopal Church USA because of false teaching. Episcopal USA changed the Book of Common Prayer to suit their own interests, denying the gospel, denying Christ, telling people that there's no sin. Even though you live in sin and you come to the church, you are still okay, you are fine. You have the same sex marriage, it's okay. We say no. We know what Christ have done to us. We stop that relationship with them. And we start partnership with people that we feel we have the same faith with them. Anglican Church in North America. Your church, your father. So this time, we brought together all our pastors and the lay people, and we had a big meeting in Kansas City. Four of our bishops are going around in the United States of America, making our people aware that move away from the Episcopal Church. They are not fitting you with the gospel. And again, your bishop Bill Out was with us in Kansas City. Bill Murdoch of the England, Diocese of England, New England, was also with us. And Archbishop Paul Beach came to talk to our people. And I came here to Buffalo, New York, for a meeting that bring our people from Canada and Australia. And I was here to pray for them and also to talk to them about Anglican Church. Some of them go to Catholic Church and other churches I don't know. But what I know, majority of them were Anglican background back at home. And I went to connect them with the Anglican Church. Then I sent an email to our bishop, Bishop Bill Out, and Archbishop, and said, I'm here in Buffalo, New York. I want to find Anglican Church to go to on Sunday and worship. I was not intended to come and preach. But I was one to come to church and be with my brothers and sisters. And Father Hart called me and took me for a good lunch and invited me to come and preach. We need you to pray that God will use us to bring our people. I will be here for a few days, and I'm planning to bring some people to meet him and to connect them with this church. But my brothers and sisters, this was not the gospel we read. The gospel we read today, according to St. John, is that Jesus spent some time with Nicodemus when he came to him at night. And Jesus told him, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And Nicodemus was confused. How can an old man be born again? How can I be born again? Why? The same question that confused and it was difficult for Nicodemus to answer is still difficult today. It's still difficult today. But there is a need for us to be born again. People are dead. Even though they are physically walking and talking, they are dead spiritually because of the sin. People are dead spiritually because of sin. And they need to be born again. People have walked away, they went astray from God, from the truth. They need to be born again. As Isaiah said, we have 10, each one of us have 10 years on our own way from the gospel, from the truth. The things were said in a different culture, at different time, but they are still happening today in the world. The world of today needs to be born again. The world needs to be restored back to the truth. The world is confused. The world is hopeless. And the world of Africa is confused in extent that they are killing themselves. My people in South Sudan are killing themselves now. We are an independent country, but we are still killing ourselves because of power, because of corruption. You want to control the resources. Africa is going through a difficult time, a time of suffering, because of wars, because of conflict, because of division, because of corruption. That world needs to be restored back to the gospel. And the world of America needs to be restored back to the gospel. Even though in this country, during the struggling of our independence, our forefathers, in their own time, put their love and faith in Christ. That's why they said in their own money, in God we trust. In God we trust. And surely that God they trust, they gain the freedom. America was free. America was blessed. America became the strongest nation in the world. But the generation of today have rejected that. They don't believe in Christ. They don't trust God. They trust the blessing they have, the resources, the powers. They turn away from God. They don't allow God in their school, in anything. In fact, in America these days, if you say, I'm a Christian, people will spit on you. But if you say, I'm a gay, they will clap and they will give you something to eat. But thank God, we are still the same God whom the Bible said is yesterday and today and forever the same God. And God will never change his mind. Continue to bless and to love America. But you and me have a job to do. We want to share the good news with those who are lost. They need to know the truth. The truth is not the power. He's not the money. He's not the wealth. He's Jesus Christ. And I wish when we go to Afghanistan, to Iraq, I wish we could go with the gospel than going with a gun, because the gun never changed anything, but the gospel changed. The gospel transformed. The gospel unite. The gospel make people to love even their own enemies. Brothers and sisters, the world of today need to be born again. The world need the Savior. The world is dying. The world need to know the truth. And the Bible said, the wages of sin lead to death. Sin lead to death. And the gift of life, the gift of God, lead to eternal life. The world don't know that. It is you and me to share that. The gospel reminded us in the book of John, that because God loved us so much, God loved us so much, he sent his only son to die on the cross. And whoever believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. We will not know this until we were born again. When I was a small boy and walking, going to Ethiopia and seeing people dying, I was not a Christian. I was not believing in God. And I asked myself, what is the meaning of God, meaning of life, if people die like this? Is there anyone, there's no anyone in charge of us? I was questioning how we came to exist. But guess what? When I became a Christian, I became to know the meaning of life is what Christ endured on the cross for you and me. If we don't know that, we will live in this world not knowing what the meaning of life and why we are here. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to share the good news. In South Sudan, the Muslims have come to be Christian, not by force, but they could not understand why we love them the way we love them. And they know what they have done to us. But we love them because Jesus have not taught his people to love their neighbors as themselves only, but he taught that we should love our neighbors as ourselves, and also we should love our enemies and pray for them. And that's why one makes Muslim in South Sudan to become believers. They want to know that. Jesus have come to save us from our sin. Jesus have died on the cross to unite us, to become one. One family in this world, the family of God. We are one, we are brothers and sisters. And that's why I'm here this morning. It is because we are one. Regardless of the colors and the descent and the culture we come from, we are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. That is not true in other religions. In Islam, they are not one. In fact, in Islam, they are saying the Arabs are the true Muslim. The rest are just to count their numbers and to say we are this million of people. But they are not one. We are one in Christ. Hallelujah. We are one in Christ. We are brothers and sisters. Jesus have come to unite us. Jesus have come to give us eternal life. Brothers, as a boy trying to survive in the wilderness, I experienced the love of God. I experienced his love. In fact, I used to calculate that maybe now my colleague died, I'm next. But God said no. So we don't assume that there's God. It is not assumption that there is God. We believe in God because we have seen what God has done to us. We have felt his love. We have seen him working in our life. We have seen him in North America with Anglican Church in North America. He started a very small church of people that give up their building, their money. And they said, we want to walk with Christ. And guess what now, where you are? Guess this building is the love of God, is a testimony. So we don't assume, we say what we know. I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters. My people, he stood up and stand firm as Christian. They want to die with cross. They were willing to die and they die with Christian, as Christian, with the cross of Jesus. You are going through a tough time in America. You have been persecuted because of your faith. I want to challenge you that you need to stand firm in your faith. No compromise. No compromise. We cannot compromise our faith. Stand firm in your faith. And know Jesus is the Lord. He's the Lord of the whole world. He's the King. He's the leader. He's the Savior. And the Bible reminded us today that for those who have accepted God and follow God and trust God, they are called the children of God. We are sons and the daughters of Jesus Christ, of God. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's no other ways. There's no other ways. It's only Jesus to heaven. Jesus, he's the only way to heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.